Welcome in their service this evening in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to turn to the book of Ephesians this evening, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. And tonight I want to speak about the most important truth in all of the Bible. And I believe this is the most important truth in all of the whole Bible. And I know perhaps. Maybe everyone here is saved, but this is a gospel service and we have to press on. And maybe the Lord will touch someone's heart that's listening in and encourage those that's here this evening with the word of God. Verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh or energizes in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation of times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. Let us just bow again for a moment this evening. If you have a prayer request, just lift your hand to the Lord. I want to remember those this evening that need the Lord's touch. Father in heaven, we come before you in the name that you have set far above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for every hand that's raised that thou will meet the need. In Jesus Christ's precious name. Wash us every one afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the snow. Purge us, and we shall be like hyssop. Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost to help me right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, and I thank you, Lord, you do. Father, I pray for those laid aside sick this evening, that thou indeed will touch them and strengthen them. In the name of the Lord, restore the backslidden, save the lost, and heal the sick. In Jesus Christ's name. We ask for all the nurses and doctors throughout this province that thou would bless them and help them. And we ask for those in authority that you'll give them wisdom in Jesus Christ's name. Now, Father, we commit ourselves to you tonight and pray and know that you will bless your word till every heart. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to say from the very start of the service, the most important truth in all of the Bible. That's a big statement, isn't it? But no one will ever enter heaven. No one. Without eternal life. No man, no woman can enter heaven without eternal life. Nothing but God's life can exist there. Yes, it's only God's life that can exist there. So we must have God's life, because without the life of God, we are dead. No. Not only are we dead, but we're dead in trespasses and we're dead in sins. He who has this life will be admitted. But only he or she who has this life. He who has not this life will forever be barred eternally from heaven. Therefore, it is the most important truth in all of the Bible that you have this life. And thank God this life is available. The first thing I want to say tonight, because man needs eternal life. Man needs eternal life. Because the Bible says, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. Notice the wages of sin is death. Not will be death, it is already death. Yeah. A person that's not saved is already dead. They're dead already. They're dead men and dead women walking. Ephesians says, you have they quickened who were dead. Yeah. So every one of us without this gift were dead. Even though we're in a physical body, and I'm going to show you this evening, there's three parts to your body. There's the body, soul, and the spirit. Three parts to your body. And you can have the physical part that's living, but there's a spiritual part that's dead. And it takes the Spirit of God to birth it and quicken it. And that's why it says, accept the man be born again and not see the kingdom of God. Death. Not a funeral. But a present condition. That's what people are that's not saved. In their present condition, they're dead. And that death that they're in is caused by sin. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 tells us, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body. Your whole spirit, soul and body. Three parts, tell you. Be presented blameless unto the coming of the Lord. There's three elements to man. Body, soul, spirit. You can change it around whenever you want. There's a lot of people spell out over this. I'm not here to do that tonight. But I just want to show you there's three parts. You see, when God said to Adam, the day you partake thereof, ye shall surely die. He was still living physically, but he was dead. 1 Corinthians tells us, and you know there's a threefold nature man, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1 to 3. And I want to read this, then I want to show you about the ports into your body. There's ports into your body. And I'm going to show you that tonight. And I'm going to show you how the court of man was closed. The window where the light came in was closed because of the fall. And the only thing that can open that window is the Spirit of Almighty God. A preacher can't open it. It's the Holy Spirit alone that opens it. That's why for somebody to be saved, for a man to be saved and say the Spirit never moved on him, that's impossible. Impossible. When a man gets saved, the Spirit of God moved on that man or woman, or they wouldn't be saved. The Holy Spirit already moved on them. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1 to 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to hear it, neither yet ye are now able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among ye envy and strife, divisions, ye are yet, are ye not yet carnal, and walk as men. Chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. If the Holy Spirit doesn't enlighten a man or woman, he'll never be saved. You know, you could take someone to the best meetings, whatever that would mean, and the sweat could break on them, and God could move them, and they'll still not get saved. It's only God's mercy through the Holy Spirit that moves a man and moves a woman to get saved. And Christians are not near thankful enough to know that they're saved. The greatest gift, salvation, that's the greatest gift. And this is the greatest Bible truth, eternal life. Now let me just go through these few thoughts this evening. Bear with me for a moment. The body touches the material world through the five senses: sight, smell, hearing, taste, and touch. Isn't that right? That's how your body touches the natural world. The gate to the soul. Imaginations, conscience, memory, reason, affections. There's a gate to the soul. The Spirit receives impressions of outward material things through the soul. The spiritual faculties: faith, hope, reverence, prayer, worship. Now listen, in man's unfallen state, before man fell, the Spirit of man was illuminated from heaven. Adam was like God in a sense. He had power over creation. God said, you'll name the animals. He gave them that authority. But when the human race fell on Adam, sin closed the window of the Spirit and pulled down the curtain, and the chamber of the Spirit became a death chamber. And there remains in every unregenerated heart. They're not born again. When the heart's not regenerated, that man or woman's spiritually dead. Because that chamber that was closed in Genesis remains closed, and only the Spirit of God can open it. If God's Spirit doesn't do it, it'll never be done. You see, life and light-giving power of the Holy Spirit alone floods that chamber with life. That's what floods that chamber. Think of that inner chamber that you have, and you have one. It's the Holy Spirit that floods it with light and lights you up. That's not a light. People say, I saw the light. There's a spiritual meaning to that, you know. People used to mock that, but that's scriptural. For the Word of God says you're candles. God's Word calls you, your soul is a candle. And I think I mentioned a lot of scriptures not some time back. So the Spirit floods the chamber with light and life, giving the power of the new life in Christ. We see then why the natural man cannot understand spiritual things. He cannot understand them until the spiritual nature has been renewed. But the spirit of the natural man is only darkened. It's darkened. His will stands as a guard at the door, man's own will, and prevents entrance of the Holy Spirit. And it is not until the will surrenders And you know there's men that say that was a great meeting, but they still don't get saved. They could say the Spirit of God moved me. They still don't get saved because they don't surrender their will to God. And how often does the Spirit of God prick the conscience and move the conscience of men and women, and they put it off and put it off? You know, at my own father's funeral, I didn't speak very long. I was really, the Lord helped me. I know He did. And God spoke to a lot of people. And I seen grown men that weren't saved in tears. And one young man came to me in tears. And he said, I wanted to come to see you for a long time. But I felt so condemned. That's the devil that condemned them. But you see, God pricked people. Maybe it could be somewhere else. That's just an example. But it's put off. It's put off till another day. It's put off till another occasion. Proverbs 20:27 says, the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So God's Spirit lights you up. You need to be lit up, born again. In Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed a man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils and became life. Came into him. And the man became a living soul. He was a full man, but he didn't live till God breathed into him. But when God placed man in the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it, he warned him. He warned him. Concerning the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Verse 17 of Genesis 2. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. Told him, don't eat of it. Thou shalt not eat of it, for the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now he did eat of it. But he was still living. But someone died. Someone died. And you say, no, it didn't. Well, if you can't talk like that, because if you say nothing, die, throw your Bible in the bin. Because my Bible says, by one man, sin entered into the world. And death by sin, which passed upon all men. So Adam sinned and someone died. Yet he was spirit physically living. Someone had died in him. And it passed universally. So it didn't matter who your father was or your mother was. You needed to have your own birth. Your own experience. When Adam fell, what was it that died? Wasn't his body, certainly not. He was as much alive as ever. Let me just read you this little statement. But Adam did sin. But he did it with his eyes open. And in 2 Timothy 3 it said that Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transaction. But Adam, with his eyes open, willfully took Eve, knowing what she'd done. He took her because she was a type of Christ. Eve actually thought she was right, but Satan had deceived her. But she didn't deceive Adam. He knew it was wrong, but he still done it. She was deceived until it. He openly done it. Now, I'm sure every one of us here this evening could admit in our lifetime we've done things we knew was wrong, but we still done them. Thank God for mercy. But from the very hour he sinned, he was out of touch with God. He was at a distance from God. Communion had been interrupted from that time. Man was at a distance from God, spiritually dead, and he needed to be quickened in the newness of life. He can be physically living yet spiritually dead. Now listen, here's another thought. It was therefore necessary for Jesus Christ to come to this world to give his life. Jesus Christ had to give his life so that we could have this most important thing in all of the Bible, eternal life. Now, I don't want to get too much into the book of Genesis tonight, and I just want a little short message. But the most important thing is that Christ came to give us eternal life. A man could be healed and still go to hell. Did you know that? Yes. Unsaved people can get healed and still be lost. But once a man receives eternal life, amen, He's saved for all time and all eternity. That's the most important thing, is eternal life. John 10 verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus Christ wants to give you life here and life hereafter. More abundantly. He left the glory and splendor of heaven above. He took upon him the form of a man. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, so that men and women can receive eternal life and never die. That's why Christ went to Calvary, to save men and women. If Christ did not come and put away sin, which is a result in death, and provide eternal life for sinful men, every man would remain in the terrible condition called death. All of us would remain in that condition. But once you're born again, note Paul says, death shall have no more dominion over you. That's what he says. Death shall have no more dominion over you because you've received eternal life. The physical body might die, but you have a spiritual man that can't die. And you know, even those that went on to the grave that are born again, they're in heaven. When the rapture takes place, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, thrust up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Jesus Christ is coming again for his people because he's given them eternal life. There's two classes only. Only two classes of people. Man may seem to be alive. He might seem to be alive. He might seem to be physically active. But as God looks down from heaven, he sees dead men. And he divides all the human race into two classes, the quick and the dead. And either you're in one class or the other tonight, either you're alive under Christ or you're dead. Every person at this very moment is in one class or the other. There's no such thing as I'm not in one of them classes. Every man, every woman is either in one class or the other. As far as God is concerned, you're either dead in sin or alive unto God. One or the other. John 3 verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man is born of the Spirit of Almighty God, he's dead. Dead. This here determines man's eternal destiny. This is what determines it. This is the last thing I want to bring you this evening, this thought. Eternal life has to be the most important truth in all of the Bible. What other truth can you put in front of eternal life? A man can know everything, but if he's not saved, he's lost. You could be a millionaire tonight and on your way to hell. You could be the best physical specimen that anybody's ever seen. But if you haven't got eternal life, you're lost. And one day your breath will go out of you and you'll go to the grave. Because that life determines a man or a woman's eternal destiny, that eternal life. Their destiny. What is her destiny? Our hopes are coming of the Lord. Our destiny is heaven. We look for the Savior. That's what the Word of God says. We look for the Savior. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. John 3:15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Eternal life. That's life that never stops, never runs out. Eternal life. He who possesses eternal life will never perish. The man or woman without eternal life will perish. flesh. To reject God's gift of eternal life is to perish and to be lost and to come to destruction. There's a second death, you know. The Bible speaks of a second death. I hear preachers and they preach about people having eternal life in hell. Absolute nonsense. There's only one form of eternal life. That's through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have eternal life, it's in Christ alone. You couldn't be in hell and have eternal life. If you're in hell and had eternal life, you would never be in hell. If a man or woman had truly eternal life, they'd be in heaven. Because to have eternal life, you must have the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I know hell can be forever and ever, it says in places. I'm not disputing that. I don't know how long that is. But a man cannot have eternal life in hell. That is false teaching. Somebody that has eternal life saved. Saved from hell till heaven. And they'll never be lost. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What about verse 36 of John 3? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath or judgment of God abideth upon him. So if you've got the Son, you have eternal life. Now if you have eternal life, you'll never go to hell. You'll go to heaven. Well, you're saved. And you have eternal life. On the one side, eternal life. On the other side, the wrath of the judgment of God. Unless you're born again, quickened by the Spirit of God, you will be under the judgment of God. That's what men and women are under God's judgment. They don't realize it. People talk about the judgment of God on the earth, and I believe that. But you know, when the final judgment of God's come, we've no idea what it's going to be like. None at all. Do you know that? Do you know what I'm talking about this evening? Did you know when the Bible talks about the tribulation? The Bible talks about the day of God's great wrath. The Bible talks about a time called Jacob's trouble. A time that the world has never seen or known before. Where God's going to judge this world. He'll never be born into the manger again. A manger again. He'll never be put on the cross again. His brow will never be crowned again. The next time he comes to this earth, he's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The judgment's coming on this earth like nobody's ever seen before. You can't even begin to imagine it or think it up. It's nothing like you're seeing now. We're seeing droplets. We're seeing birth pains. The world's in birth pains. These floods and wars and rumors of wars, they're birth pains. But there has to be a birth, and this world's in travail tonight. Christ is coming again for the people. And you need to have eternal life, my friend. Dear man, dear woman, you need to have eternal life. This is the greatest truth in all the Bible. Have you got eternal life? Are you dead or are you alive? John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believe on him that hath sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I want to read you this again. I want to read this again from a different version. Now don't chase me because I'm reading from another version. It's the Amplified. Praise God. I assure you, most solemnly, I tell you, the person whose ears are open to my words, who listens to my message and believes and trusts and claims to and relies on him who sent me, has possessed now eternal life. And not the wishing for it. You know, you hear so much today, they've made a decision. Are they really saved? Now, I don't like that talk. I'll be honest with you. I know men and they talk about they made a profession. But are they really saved? And you know, if you went out in a mission report and you come back and said 10 get saved, and how do you know they're saved? Are they really saved? Didn't you like to meet an old boy like that? You see somebody like that, you need to ask them, are they saved? For I doubt it. My Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not, as he think he's saved. I know of a man some time back, and he had a young Christian working with him. You might hear this, not matter anyhow. I don't care if he does. But this young fella was working with him, and this young fella told him about two or three people that have got saved. One young fella got saved Maple one night in a phone box. Another two fellas got saved in the living room on their knees. And people were getting saved every week. So he thought, are they really saved? So he started to talk about a profession. Oh, but you could have a profession, but are you really saved? And this went on for a long time, but he slipped up one day. And he told this young convert that wasn't long saved how that him and some others would go out for a wee meal on a weekend. And they'd have a bottle of wine. And he says, you know, this night we had that much wine, we got up, we were drunk. We're nearly drunk. And the young fella said, aye. He says, aye, but that was when you'd only made a profession. You weren't really saved. Not finished at all about the nearly saved. I tell you, God cannot break His word. You can't look at a man and say he looks saved or he doesn't look saved. He could have a pipe hanging out of his glove. He could have a pint of beer in his hand. If that man's heart's been touched by God and he's really sincere and he's really genuine and he calls upon the name of the Lord, God will save him. Now he'll change him. He will change him. For he's my new creature. He won't continue in the old way. But he really will save him. Aren't you glad the Lord really saves you? That he doesn't half save you, a quarter save you. Watch yourself for a week, and if you make one mistake, you're out. Well, then we're all out. No hope for a man. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us will do things still when the Lord comes. Spurgeon says you need a revelation of blood. Cleanses your past sins, present sins, and future sins. Hallelujah. What a Savior. That's what the blood of Christ can do. And I'm coming to close. And he does not come into judgment, does not incur sentence of judgment, will not come under the condemnation, but he has already passed over out of death into life. Romans 8 says there's now no condemnation. That word means judgment. Now you could judgment in the sense of reward and all them things. But you cannot be judged until you're lost once you're saved. There's no scripture for it. Oh, I know, all right. I traveled with men years ago and they were the saved and lost group. And they believed even if a man was genuinely saved and he backslid, he's lost. But when I put a scenario to one of them one night, he couldn't answer it and he went away with his face red. Because going by his own doctrine, he was lost. God saves you for all time and eternity. Whatever day you bowed your knee, whatever time you made the clear decision, you were saved. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The receiving of eternal life means passing out of death into life. You get lit up inside. We must receive Christ Jesus as our Savior. As we face the death condemnation, we need Christ. How would we go to the grave if we hadn't the Lord? But when you go to the grave and you have the Lord, the Bible says, precious are the death of a saint in the eyes of the Lord. Not wonderful? John 10:28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. I like that. Never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. To reject this gift of eternal life is to perish, to reject it. You must make a clear choice. Man's attitude seals his destination. I'm sure every one of us know maybe a man or a woman, and they've heard the gospel so many times, and they make no clear decision about it. They put it off and they put it off, but how do they know the Spirit of God will ever strive with them again? Men and women can cross the boundary, for God's Spirit stops and never speaks to them again. Now you might like to think that, but that's the Bible. I'll tell you, it's a terrible thing. I met a man one day, and I'll mention no names. This man was involved in a lot of things. He'd done a lot of bad things. I met him, Philip was with me. And he called me to his side. I hadn't seen him in years, and I talked with him. And he wanted to know, could he do certain things and be born again? And I said, my conscience would never let me do it. But maybe your conscience is sheared. And the Bible speaks of a conscience sheared out of the hot iron. I tell you, when a man or a woman's conscience is sheared, there's no hope for them. Good preaching won't do it. Anointed meetings won't either. They cross the line. And it's a terrible thing if a man or a woman crosses the line and there's no turning back. I tell you, that man's in the grave tonight. And I hear a lot of people saying, oh, he went to meetings and all. I did. He went to meetings because he knew he had a big sentence he was facing. But who knows whether he ever was genuinely or not. Only God can tell that. But the Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let us stand our feet this evening as our brother prepares to come. And there's a man or woman listening in this evening. Are you saved? Can you say that you have eternal life? Have you received Jesus Christ as your own Savior? Your mother's religion won't do for you, neither will your father's. But everyone needs to have their own experience with Christ. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Are you born again of the Spirit of God? My dear friend, this evening, if you're not born again of the Spirit of God, you need a call on the name of the Lord while he is near. The Lord's presence is near tonight. You can call on his name. It shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you tonight for the gospel. It is indeed the good news. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit will move in men and women and bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, if I have said one thing amiss or out of place, forgive me, I pray, for I wouldn't mean or want to do it. But I'm asking you to speak to men and speak to women. Move in our own families, in our own homes, and save our children, we pray. We're asking the Spirit of God to move amongst us in mighty revival in Jesus Christ's name. Revive thy work, O God, in the midst of the years. Now, Father, bless the remainder of this service. Bless your people. And Lord, if there's any tonight sick at home, I'm asking you to touch them and heal them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each one. And those that's tuned in this evening, God bless you. And don't forget, Thursday night, we'll be here each Thursday night at 7:30. for prayer and Bible study. And the Lord bless each one. And next Sunday morning, Brother Mark will be preaching next Sunday morning. God bless each one.
Can't sing the hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine.